The text that calls in for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our Old Testament lesson for the day, from Jeremiah chapter 23, and particularly this verse. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who do you want for a pastor? Seriously, what kind of person do you want? Do you want a pastor that will tell you what you want to hear? Or do you want a pastor that will tell you what the word of the Lord says, even when that doesn't tickle your ears? What kind of church do you want? Do you want a church that allows you to live however you want? That treats your personal life as completely private, and yet does your bidding when you ask for something? Or do you want one that confronts sin in your life? One that asks the tough questions when it interacts with you. What kind of friends do you want around you? Do you want friends that are always taking your side, backing up whatever decision you choose to make? Or do you want one that will tell you when your life is not consistent with your faith? Now, before you answer these questions quickly and perhaps too self-righteously, let us remember that the people of old, those that Jeremiah spoke to, indeed answered these very questions time and time again wrongly as they lived out their lives listening to false prophets. Yes, you see, in that time, the kings of Israel and the people who gathered around them showed time and time again that they would prefer to have a false prophet who would speak peace rather than a true prophet who might speak peace or who might speak of terror that was coming. Yes, in the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, we see time and time again that the kings of Israel were masters at gathering around them prophets who would tell them what they wanted to hear. They indeed would gather prophets around them who would lie for the sake of being in good with the king, for the sake of having the king provide for all of their needs. And these same kings were the ones who chased after prophets like Elijah and Micah, the true prophets of the Lord, trying to shut them up, even though they knew full well that whatever those prophets spoke time and time again had come true, even though they knew ultimately that they spoke a word of truth. Maybe I should have asked those questions I asked you at the beginning of the service in a little different way. Maybe it's not so important who you say that you want in your life, but it's more important to examine who it is that you have in your life. Who is it that you have chosen to place around yourself? Now, admittedly, you didn't get a lot of choice when it came to choosing me. But all the same, let me ask you a question. When I am in this pulpit, would you rather I preach a word that stings in your ears, or would you rather I preach one that's nice and doesn't cause any real concern or conflict about what you're doing in your own lives? Would you rather I preach a sermon about other people's sins or about your sins? When you come in to see me, do you want me to just be sympathetic towards you and what you're going through? Or do you want me also to be truthful, even when it hurts? What about those things that you did choose? What about the church that you have chosen to attend? This is a church that, as far as I can reckon, hasn't practiced any regular form of church discipline for many decades. Well, that's not to say that sin is never confronted here, but it is to say that we often allow things in our midst that should not be present. Oh, many of us will say that we don't like the sins that we find among us. We often don't have the stomach to do anything tangible about it. We often allow everyone's private life to stay very private, as if their life, what they do the rest of the week, has nothing to do with what we do here on Sunday morning. And what about your friends? When's the last time one of your friends came to you and confronted you about something in your life because they were concerned about your life with God? When was the last time they came and told you that you needed to look at your own life and see that it was not consistent with the faith you confess? What if you told your friend that you were going to move in with your significant other? What if you told them that you had just learned the greatest piece of gossip ever? What if you introduced a friend to something on the internet or the television that was not pleasing to God? Would your friends stop and question your actions? Yes, all too often, even though we want to claim that we want people speaking words of truth around us in our lives, we end up surrounding ourselves with people that will tell us what we want to hear. Pastors, churches, and friends alike. After all, who doesn't like to be told that they are right? Who doesn't like to hear good things about themselves? Who doesn't want to be told that everything will be okay? God made clear through the prophet Jeremiah in the days of old that the people who were surrounding themselves with false prophets were simply being filled up with vain hope. Yes, the pleasant words that those prophets were speaking into their ears were of no value because they had no substance in reality. The words they were speaking were simply dreams they had conjured up in their minds, and not words which they had heard from the Lord of hosts. Indeed, these people were being filled day after day with false hope. And after all, what good is it to be told that peace is coming when there's really a war coming? What good is it to be told that indeed everything is all right between you and God when the truth is that everything is not all right with you and God? What good is it to be told that you will live when the prophet knows full well that your death is coming if you continue to walk in the ways you are? Indeed, both in the time of old with the prophets of old and today as well, it is definitely true in the long run and in the short run that it is always better to hear truth, even if it stings, rather than to be filled up with vain lies. Indeed, when the truth comes into our lives and it brings a sting into our lives, that sting is ultimately just the indication that there is trouble lying underneath. Yes, that sting that we feel when God's word of law cuts into us is indeed just that thing that makes evident to us the sin that is in our lives. And if indeed it does that for us, if that word of God opens our eyes to our sins, we are blessed to feel that sting. For sin realized through the power of the Spirit becomes sin that is confessed through the same Spirit. Yes, the Spirit of God, by sending words of truth into our lives, leads us to turn aside from our wicked ways, and in so doing places us face to face with our loving God once again. The words of truth search deep, and as they search deep, they reveal death, but they do so in order that life might again be restored. Imagine, if you will, going to your normal family doctor because you're simply not feeling quite up to par. Your doctor, after hearing all of your symptoms, sends you off for a bunch of diagnostic tests. A week or so later, his nurse calls you and tells you that everything is well. And yet a couple months later, you find yourself hospitalized. When you go into the emergency room, the ER doctor takes just a few diagnostic tests, including an x-ray, which reveals that you have a huge tumor inside of you, pressing on your most vital organs. When your normal doctor comes by to make his rounds the next morning, you look at him and say, how could this possibly be true? All of those tests we just did weeks ago said that everything was fine. Your doctor looks at you and says, well, I thought that's what you wanted to hear. That tumor was there all along. The tests revealed it. But you said to me when you left that day, don't you go bringing any bad news back from those tests. I only did what you asked. The ER doctor reveals to you later that if you had only known just a few weeks earlier about that tumor, it could have been removed and it could have saved your life. So as you lay there in bed, you realize that indeed what you have done by asking never to hear any bad news is traded the rest of your life for 3 weeks of false hope. Yes, that diagnosis of cancer would have been devastating to hear, but it also could have saved your life. The pain that you would have felt could have also been the cause for cure. So also it is with the diagnosis of sin. Having sin brought to revelation in your life never feels good, but it can save your life. So don't listen to the false prophets. Insist that your pastor preaches the truth. Demand that your church take seriously sin in its midst. Beg your friends to be honest with you and to tell you when your life is simply not in line with your faith. For indeed, if you will allow those words of truth to be spoken to you, God will indeed use those words to search your life deeply and to reveal the sin that is lying there underneath. And when that sin is revealed, it can also then be removed. Yes, as the Spirit works through those words of truth, He will once again turn you around so that you are face to face with Jesus, who calls Himself the truth. You see, sometimes when a person gets a diagnosis of cancer, the doctors have to inform that person that there's simply nothing that can be done, that cancer cannot be removed. But that is never the case with sin. Any sin that is revealed as the words of truth go to searching throughout our lives indeed can be removed. And they are removed. They are removed as more words of truth are spoken into our ears. Those sins are indeed removed through words like, I forgive you of all your sins, or take, eat, take, drink. Yes, those words remove our sins from deep inside of us and give them to Jesus. And Jesus takes those sins all the way to the cross and nails them there so that they no longer can accuse us. We are blessed to know that our sin that has been revealed will not kill us, for it has already done its deed of death on the Lord Jesus. Yes, Jesus died your death in order that you might live his abundant life. Our text and the whole of Scripture is clear. Words of truth, they often hurt. Words of truth, they save. Words of truth, they lead us to Jesus. Send forth, we pray, O Lord, your prophets of truth. Amen.